strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Raid. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score. Touchdown. Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker. Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
I'm ready. I'm 100% ready. I'm telling you I'm ready.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
So many questions linger out there, Ron Wolfley. For example, why are the Seattle Seahawks going to dinner tonight with Bryce Young? Why did the Raiders meet with Bryce Young last night?
Yes.
Why did former Cardinals quarterback and current Carolina coach Josh McCown tell C.J. Stroud, because they caught it there on video, that, you know what, when they want to play basketball next, they'll have to find a hoop in Charlotte when you, quote, live in Charlotte? Why did DeAndre Hopkins post to Instagram a clip from the Bob Marley song, Buffalo Soldier? And why did D-Hop's good buddy Pac-Man Jones all of a sudden become an NFL insider? We'll hear from Pac-Man Jones. We'll get the latest on D-Hop, all of the above, and we're going to meet Zach Pascal, Cardinals' brand new receiver and special teams assassin on this edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi here, and our own special teams Pro Bowler, Ron Wolfley there.
What's up, Paulie? How you doing?
I'm just trying to keep track, of everything that's going on, everything that might potentially happen. It seems like, Wolf, if nothing else, and we'll get to some of the names that have been added to this roster, but obviously the focus is on the Cardinals right now in regards to number three overall. For example, Alabama had its pro day today. Will Anderson did not work out. He's going to sit on his accomplishments and numbers from the combine, and you understand why. But I think we're starting to see that the focus in this draft is more and more going towards the AZ and number three overall, because if there are three, maybe even four top quarterbacks in this draft, then guess what? Monty Austin Ford's phone is going to be a-ringing.
Yeah, Paulie, no, I really think right now where the Arizona Cardinals are sitting, and we've talked about this before, we've speculated, but the reality of it is starting to crash home right now. Where they're sitting at number three is, that's the catbird seat right now, because of the fact C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, most people are talking about those two guys and how well they are doing in terms of impressing scouts. Those two guys, along with Anthony Richardson now, are coveted. And you know what happens when these quarterbacks are coveted by NFL teams that are a little bit desperate and trying to bring a fresh body in, bring a capable human being in, bring in a guy, regardless of whether it's just more combine numbers than anything else. There are people that will take chances on a quarterback because you can't win unless you got a franchise quarterback.
My favorite mock draft so far, Mel Kiper this week, 48 hours ago, he put out a mock that has the Cardinals trading down with Indy. They go down one spot, the Cardinals do. They nab Will Anderson Jr. out of Alabama. Plus, they wind up with an extra second round and third round pick.
Sold.
As Indy comes up to take a quarterback. So you have that. Absolutely.
We'll take that one, Paulie.
No doubt. In fact, can you finalize that deal right now, Mel? What can you do to make that happen? Can we get you into this vehicle today? You know,
but
as
Paul,
the old car salesman says.
Yeah, Paulie, I just got to jump in here, though, when you're talking about that, though. Stop and think about the Indianapolis Colts. If, in fact, they do love themselves a little Anthony Richardson, or maybe it's Bryce Young. Maybe they love Bryce Young, and maybe they're thinking, hey, there's a real chance that Bryce Young could possibly be there at three. Regardless, if they want to get one of the top three prospects at quarterback right now, Indianapolis, they can't risk sitting there at number four and watching somebody like, oh, I don't know, the Raiders jump up to number three and draft a quarterback right in front of them.
Especially when there are reports out the Raiders had serious advanced talks with the Bears for number one overall.
Right.
So it appears the Raiders are dead set on maybe making a move for a franchise quarterback. So, yes, I agree with you. That should move the meter with the Indianapolis Colts, who, by the way, there's another report out that they might covet Anthony Richardson because Shane Steichen sees Anthony Richardson as a Jalen Hurts, instead a souped-up version with more measurables than a Jalen Hurts, and they'd run a similar type offense. But that's just one report out of many. Late this afternoon, we got word the Cardinals added yet another player. Here's the latest. Linebacker, special teamer, Josh Woods out of Detroit. We're guessing this might be a Dave Sears-type signing. The assistant GM has spent all those years with the Lions. Guy who played 17 games a year ago with the Lions after making the league. 2018 with the Bears on the practice squad, undrafted. So, boom. There's sort of a pattern here, Wolf. These sort of players the Cardinals are bringing in, what do you see as sort of the bar that is being set among all these signings?
Well, Paulie, for the most part, we've talked about this a little bit, but I see the floor being raised. That's what I see. I see the last 40 to 53 spots on your roster being raised. They're churning up the back end of the roster right now and the depth chart as well. And, Paulie, I think that is the way to go. I do. When you're talking about a brand new general manager, you're talking about a brand new head coach and a brand new coaching staff. Paul, just stop right there. When you're talking about that, especially when you're going into next season with the idea that your franchise quarterback is probably going to miss the start of the season, Paul, that to me, that signals a rebuild. Now, is it a full-on rebuild? No, it's never a full-on rebuild when you have a franchise quarterback. But to me, this is a rebuild by the Arizona Cardinals, and that means raise the floor first, get your culture set, and go from there. That's what I think we're seeing right now.
And you know what? Worth noting, Josh Woods, one of a half dozen Lions team captains last year. So you're bringing in,
there you go,
that sort of character guy. The guy we're going to be talking to in a little bit, Zach Pascal, is one of those types of guys. Speaking of names, Cardinals have re-signed some of their own guys. We started this offseason with the likes of a Greg Dortch and a Corey Clement and a Zeke Turner. Then this week, David Blough re-signed. So there you go, along with Colt McCoy, be your other two quarterbacks on the roster currently to go along with Kyler Murray, who continues the rehab from the knee surgery. Antonio Hamilton at cornerback signed a one-year, $1.5 million deal. So that's been done. And then the Cardinals went out and got a former first-round pick from the Seahawks, 2019 round one defensive lineman, L.J. Collier, 6'2", 291, and he gets a contract just over $1 million, about 150 grand in bonuses. So why not? You know what I mean? You go after a guy who's formerly a first-round talent and see if you can get a home run with a guy like L.J. Collier, especially when you obviously have needs along the defensive line.
Boy, you said so much there, Paulie. Really, you said so. I just need to go back to the quarterback and David Blough. That tells me that Kyler Murray, to me, this is just me, the fact that they've got Colt McCoy, of course, on the roster, and David Blough is the quarterback they went out, identified, and signed. Now, it doesn't preclude them, I get it, from signing another quarterback, but right now, that tells me that maybe they're really comfortable with Kyler Murray and his rehab right now. And the fact that, yeah, Colt McCoy's probably going to have to start maybe the first three, four, five games, whatever it may be, Paulie. Maybe that's what he's going to have to do. But instead of going out and spending a lot of money for somebody like a Marcus Mariota, by way of example, right? A guy that you were going to have to pay $5 million, $6 million, whatever it may be,
yep,
to bring him in here. Instead of doing that, don't do that. Because Kyler Murray is coming along with his rehab. Again, we don't know that's the case, but Paul, that's what that signing tells me right there.
And you know what? Drew Stan made this point. A guy who's been, what, in 13 years worth of quarterback rooms in the NFL. If it's all about Kyler Murray, and it is, you want to make sure the chemistry in that room is right. So
yes,
you tend to opt for known versus unknown. You know Colt McCoy and David Blough create a great environment for a Kyler Murray. You bring in a Gardner Minshew. I'm just throwing out names. I have no idea.
Yes,
Marcus,
right,
Mariota, P.J. Walker, some of these other guys, you know, Jacoby,
right,
Brissett. Hey, they might have expectations on getting playing time. How happy would they be as a strictly a backup? So, you know, in that regard, you're well aware of what a David Blau and Colt McCoy bring to the equation.
And just let me jump in on L.J. Collier right now. Here's a guy, he played 11 games his rookie year, and I would say that his rookie year was a bust, Paul. I would say that it was a bust right there. And then he came back, and his second year was really, really good and solid, I think. And then all of a sudden he came back his third year, not so good. And his fourth year was really bad. He only played in 8 games, had 7 tackles, but he is talented. He was a first-round pick, as you well know. And, Paulie, if there's ever a guy you want to go out and say, we're not counting on this guy, we're not doing it, but, man, we'd like to sign him and give him the opportunity to compete here, that's exactly what you want to do. One man's quote-unquote trash is another's treasure.
And you know what? John Schneider in Seattle, he really hit the reset button in that defensive line room. They cut Shelby Harris, Quentin Jefferson, Al Woods, and L.J. Collier. I mean, they just went scorched earth. They're like, look, everybody's out. We weren't very stout at the point of attack. And so, once again, you know, it's a low investment, low risk, maybe a high return on an L.J. Collier. We'll see about that. Dennis Daly comes over from the Titans. Now, this has provoked a lot of reaction on Twitter from Titans fans because he started 15 games of left tackle and the Pro Football Focus numbers were not kind. I'll just say this. Number one, he's not going to be a starting tackle on this roster.
Correct.
He has experience at guard, so you're going to try him there, especially at left guard where he has played before. And number two, Wolf, how about the 2021 season opener when Chandler Jones had 5, count him, 5 sacks against Taylor Lewan? And that coaching staff of Mike Vrabel never made an adjustment. They never gave Taylor Lewan any help. So if you told me Dennis Daly was hung out to dry all of last year starting those 15 games at left tackle, I would not be surprised.
And Paulie, this to me is a situation where you're not going to play him at tackle. As you said, you got your 2 tackles. You got Calvin Beecham. You got DJ Humphries. You got your 2 tackles set up. You're going to give him the opportunity to compete for that left guard position, but they're not signing Dennis Daly and saying he's going to be our starting left guard. They're going to let him go ahead and compete and bring depth along that offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It could be Dennis Daly against Josh Jones against Marquise Hayes. Best man wins left guard, right? I mean, as of right now. So
yes,
we'll see. So, Wolf, can receivers be physical football players? Say yes.
Yes.
Do special teamers need to play physical football?
Yes.
Let's meet the receiver. Now, let's meet the football player who checks both boxes. Zach Pascal, next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Hurts at the gun. He fakes to Sanders. Goes back. He is firing wide open. Pascal at the 5. And he is in for the touchdown. Zach Pascal, 34 yards.
Throws left side to Zach Pascal at the 5-yard line, looking for the pylon. And he's in! Zach Pascal! And the ball is caught. Rachel. Zach Pascal! Yes, sir! Touchdown! Zach Pascal! Keep it way downfield for Zach Pascal. Touchdown! Touchdown! Zach Pascal! A 42-yard bomb! Floats right side on a crossing pattern. Zach Pascal makes a man miss. Jumps over the pile at the goal line. That's a touchdown! Zach Pascal! Throws end zone looking for a man. He's got it! Touchdown! Zach Pascal! Pascal from 17 yards away. Gonna fire upfield into the end zone. Touchdown! Zach Pascal! Yes, sir!
Not just a playmaker, but his head coach in Philly called him an enforcer. And in a tough town like Philly, and the fact that he plays receiver, that counts double in my book. I just say that. As the man tweeted out himself recently, ZP to the AZ, and Zach Pascal joins us now on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert, our special guest. Zach, welcome, and I'd say, you know what, you're getting used to where your surroundings are, but no, you spent a week here getting ready for the Super Bowl, correct?
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me on today, man.
What do you think of Arizona, by the way? You said ZP to the AZ. What, you know, you spent a week here, and I'll just say, you might not see rain again until, like, July, okay? So this is the worst you're probably going to get weather-wise.
Yeah, I came down for the Super Bowl the first week. And it was just great weather. And then I come to sign today, and it's raining. So it's all good, though. It's all good.
All right. So you tell us a little bit about yourself. When you hear enforcer, how much pride do you take in that moniker?
I take a lot of pride. I mean, because, you know, a lot of times in life, like, you get put into a box on what you can do, or, you know, you're on your talent level. And so for me, I'm listed as a receiver, but I love playing football. You know what I'm saying? So regardless of what you ask me to do, I'm going to do it times 10. That's just who I am. And so if it's going in block, if it's going in chip or doing a dirty work, even if it's going down and making a tackle, like, my mindset is just going and dominate. I love playing football, like I said. So, like, I'm not crying about, you know, not getting the ball, or, you know, not trying to do the dirty work or get dirty. So being an enforcer is a mindset, and I feel like I'm one of the last few receivers who even has this mindset, you know, to go in and go crazy like that. So
to defy the odds, right, as an undrafted guy out of Old Dominion, did you have to be that sort of player? Is that just who you were and that's your DNA, or did you have to take on that sort of role to make the NFL?
Well, I was kind of that player even in college. I was playing special teams. I was catching touchdowns and then going down and making the tackle right after the touchdown. So, like, I'm used to just being out there all the time or doing whatever it takes to win, whether it's whatever it is. And so that, coming into the league, you know, it grew on me, you know, how I can stay in the league, obviously, but it just enhanced that mentality I already had, you know what I'm saying?
Well, our co-host on this show, Ron Wolfley, went to 4 Pro Bowls as a special teams ace.
Oh,
so
for real?
If he's here, he would ask you, what do you like most about special teams, and where do you excel? What's your role? What do you enjoy the most?
I would say kickoff, yo. Kickoff, because, I mean, it's it could either be the beginning of the game. I think of it like this. Special teams is a group of special players doing special things. You have to be special to do this. You know what I'm saying? This is like an all-star team. But
the mindset, is that what you need for special teams?
The mindset, the skill level. Everybody can't run backwards, turn around, and block somebody coming full speed at you. You know what I'm saying? Or everybody can't go down and defeat double teams and then go make the tackle. You know, and then you got pump return. But for me, my favorite is kickoff, because I just like to run full speed, cause wreck, and then go make the tackle. You know what I'm saying?
I can see why you're a good fit with Jonathan Gannon. Zach Pascal is our guest. And you know what? Look, you followed him from the Colts to the Eagles, mm-hmm. now to the Cardinals. To what degree has that been by design? To what degree are you guys just a good fit, player, coach?
Listen, I guess when great football minds think alike, you end up in the same place.
Tell us about Jonathan Gannon, because you have a real intimate knowledge of the Cardinals' new head coach. We're getting to know him. I'll just say this much. On the second floor here at the Cardinals facility, it could be 2:30 on a Tuesday afternoon, and you will hear someone from the other side of the building yell out, "Let's go! Yes!" And it's the head coach.
Yes.
Is he like that all the time?
He's going to bring the energy, I'm telling you. But sometimes, like, that's what you need. You need the energy, because it's contagious. And if you see it every day, it's contagious. It goes from the head coach to the assistant coaches, from the assistant coaches to your star players, from your star players to, you know, everybody else, even to the training staff. Like, it doesn't matter. That I feel like that energy is going to be so contagious. It's just going to help us want to get better every time. It's going to help us have fun getting better.
Zach Pascal, our guest here on the Big Red Rage. Why do I get the feeling that during training camp and practices, you going against JG's defense, things got competitive?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How competitive?
Absolutely. I mean, we on the field talking trash. I mean, it's a fun competition. You know what I'm saying? We're not going crazy, but like, I want your best. If we're gonna get better, I need your best, and I'm gonna give you my best. That's the only way we're gonna get better. So if I have to talk trash to you to get you going, or, you know, that's just how we are, like, let's do it, you know. And he's the same way. So it was just, it's always fun, because we do one-on-ones and he's coaching up the safeties or the DBs in Indy, and I will be a receiver talking trash to his players right in front of him. And then two, it was always good. It was always fun, good competition.
All right, so all your new teammates are going to be asking you, all right, what do they need to know about Jonathan Gannon, the new head coach? What would you tell them? What sort of scouting report would you give your teammates on the head coach?
He's definitely a competitor, but one thing I would say, he's definitely a player's coach. Like, what you need as a player, he would try his best to get that for you. What you need to get better or to be successful on the field, he would try to get that done for you for sure.
You're wearing a T-shirt right now that reads, Bet on Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that to us.
You know, coming into the league, right, undrafted, you tend to try to make a team and get comfortable being on that team. And it's like, at this point, you know, I would do whatever to stay on the team. But, you know, I kind of, in these past couple years, grew a mindset where it's like, yo, you're not going to be in this league for long. You know what I'm saying? Like, bet on yourself, you know, bet on yourself. You know, if you have the confidence, you know, the trust in yourself, go ahead and do that. Bet on yourself, your talent, and you know, go make something happen.
Because targets were hard to come by.
Absolutely.
In Philly last year.
Absolutely.
A couple of years in Indianapolis, you had, you know, a couple of 40-plus catch seasons, more than 600 yards each year, 5 touchdowns each campaign. How hungry are you to return to that playmaker, to be an integral part of this offense?
I don't even know if I can put it into words. I got to just stay on it. I'm trying to take that and put it into my grind, my work, so that way when it's time again, it's going to be time. But definitely trying to get back to that for sure.
Because people who may have forgotten about you as a receiver necessarily, right? 15 catches all of last year. You played every single game.
Yeah.
You were available. You were durable. You were a playmaker. But in terms of the passing game, mm-hmm. and catching balls, you tell Cardinals fans, what can they expect in your game? What sort of receiver are you?
No, I mean, I'm a talented receiver. I mean, I'm going to go out there and play the best to my ability. I ain't no slouch. I ain't no... You know, I'm gonna come in. I'm ready to hoop. I'm ready to win games. I'm trying to come in and win a championship. I just came from Philly. We was winning, so I'm trying to just bring that same mindset. I've been around great receivers, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. Like, I've been around these guys, so like, you know, I'm just trying to come in and add what I can to the team.
Zach Pascal, our guest, Cardinals new receiver. You also been around a lot of name quarterbacks. Andrew Luck,
oh yeah,
Phillip Rivers,
mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz,
mm-hmm.
Jacoby Brissett,
mm-hmm.
most recently Jalen Hurts. You tell us, how amped up are you to play with Kyler Murray?
I'm amped, man. I'm amped. Anytime you can get a playmaker at QB, it's always fun. So I'm excited, you know, to be able to work with him and go and, you know, go to war with him and, you know, try to win some games. He's very talented. I want to come and help him the best that I can.
What's it like for a receiver to play, you know, with a pocket quarterback versus a dual threat quarterback? Most recently, Jalen Hurts and now Kyler.
So I would say, like, if you have more so a pocket quarterback, you got to be at that spot at the right time, you know. And then when you have, like, an athletic quarterback, you may be at the spot at the right time, but now he's scrambling. You got scramble drills. You got scramble rules. You space the field, you know. So you got to – it's different on – how you running your routes and what you're looking at on defense to try and get the ball.
All right, so we're coming off the combine, right? And they had a few different questions at the combine. And one of them was, if you were coaching yourself, how would you get the best out of yourself? How would you answer that for your new coaches?
If I was coaching myself, how would I get the best out of me?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me I can't do something.
It's a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good answer because you've already defied the odds, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
The whole bet on yourself T-shirt.
Absolutely.
Hey, Zach, we enjoyed it.
I appreciate it.
Welcome to the AZ officially.
Yes, sir.
And we look forward to seeing you out on the grass.
ZP to AZ. Appreciate you having me.
Love it. Zach Pascal, our guest on the Big Red Rage. We continue right after this. All brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Flushed out, rolling left in trouble, slips a tackle, got to launch it. He does. Left side, into the end zone, jump ball, and it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it. He caught it for a touchdown with 1 second left. I can't believe it. You've got to be joking me. Hopkins reaches up with three defenders around him and pulls it in. And the Cardinals lead it 32-30 with a second left.
You can't cover Duke. You're not going to be able to cover him. Throw the ball up.
That's right, Wolfie. When he is covered, he's not covered. One of a handful of receivers you can say that about in the league. And you heard it there, Hail Murray 2020 to beat Buffalo. Wait a minute. Could the Bills be the front runner, the clubhouse leader right now? We'll get into that. As the ball is up in the air, there's no doubt about it when it comes to the future of DeAndre Hopkins. Who is going to come down with D-Hop? We'll talk about that in a bit. Is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and special thanks to our special guest, Zach Pascal, who we had a chance to visit with yesterday. And you know what? Those rain clouds have parted, and boom, you can see the sunny future, hopefully, for Zach Pascal, who was still in his prime. And wearing that T-shirt, Wolf, bet on yourself. That's what his T-shirt said. And I'm guessing you liked a lot about just his mentality, not just as a receiver, but as a football player in that interview.
Yeah, no, Paulie, I love that. And remember, too, this is what Jonathan Gannon is trying to do. This is what this coaching staff and Monty Ossenfort is trying to do right now. They're trying to go out and bring in football players, guys that love to play the game, guys that love to tap into the essence of the game of football, which, you know, Paulie, is to go out there and maybe bloody somebody's nose.
Hey, look, the most physical team wins most often. And that's what guys like to say, especially about the playoffs. So he is definitely a physical receiver. That's definitely a need right now on this roster. There's no doubt about it. You could hear how hungry he is. Only 19 targets all of last year on that talented Philly team. He's really looking forward to being more of an integral part of the passing game. And I just love him saying, look, I'm listed as a receiver, but I love playing football. It reminds me a lot of a Chase Edmonds when he came in. Remember you asked Chase Edmonds just about, you know, and his response to you was, I'm not just a running back. You know, I don't just catch the ball. I'm a football player. So I guess that's what they're getting at Zach Pascal. But that's not to say that the Cardinals are done in that receiver room, because to start this week, we got the report from NFL Network, Ian Rappaport. Quote, as the status of D-Hop comes into focus, talks are ramping up among interested teams. And it's interesting because now all of a sudden we're getting some new teams added to this list. First off, Wolf, do you fully expect DeAndre Hopkins to be traded at some point and maybe some point soon in the Arizona Cardinals offseason?
Yes, I do, Paulie. Yes.
And what do you think at this point is a realistic price? Because, I mean, it's been like the stock market. It's been volatile. It's been up and down all offseason. I don't know where we're at right now.
No, Paulie, it really is. I don't think a second-round pick is out of the question at all. As a matter of fact, I'm digging my heels in on that second-round pick. I realize there's a lot of mitigating factors that makes this deal a little suspect. And when I say a little suspect, I'm talking about the contract status of DeAndre Hopkins, of course, and the new contract that he's going to want wherever he may go. Paul, that is what's complicating a lot of this. That's my guess. I can't be 100% sure on that, Paulie, but I think that's probably what's holding up this deal right now.
Well, the last part of Ian Rappaport and what he said on Tuesday was similar to Brandon Cooks. A trade of D-Hop would mean an altered contract.
Yep.
So, okay, what does that mean? How badly does DeAndre Hopkins want to play with, oh, I don't know, a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen? Because all of a sudden, the Bills, I mean, we have an NFL insider reporting earlier today the D-Hop trade market is headlined by Buffalo, citing sources. And that was moments after Pac-Man Jones, the former standout cornerback, joined the Pat McAfee show, and he mentioned a handful of teams and then one frontrunner.
My sources tell me that D-Hop is getting hot right now.
Okay. Interest is heating up. Although our sources have told us nothing, we did see on Instagram, Buffalo Soldier from D-Hop just yesterday.
My sources tell me Buffalo can work. I like the Raiders, too. I don't know. I go back and look at the teams, and I know D as a person. I'm leaning more toward the Bills or the Ravens.
And he was in Dallas with Von Miller working out.
So it seems like Buffalo Soldier, with what we're hearing from Pac-Man source Sizz, feels like Buffalo Bills fans have a reason to be excited.
All right, so the reenacting the clip from the Bob Marley song that D-Hop posted on Instagram, Buffalo Soldier, okay? So that's that's sort of the cryptic post from DeAndre Hopkins.
Since deleted, Paul.
Oh, yes, I did not know that. Okay.
Oh, yeah, Paulie, that's okay, though.
Okay.
That's okay.
All right, so in the five teams that were mentioned, for what it's worth, by Pac-Man Jones, the Bills, the Ravens, the Raiders, the Patriots, we've heard a lot of noise out of New England on that, and then the Falcons, who are seemingly new to the mix, because previously, really, we'd heard a lot about the Patriots, the Browns, who made the trade for Elijah Moore from the Jets, Kansas City has been mentioned a lot, Carolina a little bit, Tennessee has gotten a lot of play, the Giants quite a bit, although they went out and got Paris Campbell for the former second-round pick of the Colts. And then Dallas before they made the deal for Brandon Cook. So, as you know, Wolf, it just takes a couple of teams to maybe drive up the price.
Right.
And then maybe, just maybe, the Cardinals can get something they've been looking for and they'll pull the trigger.
That's right, Paulie. Right now, first of all, can I just say this? You know, I love the Arizona Cardinals, of course. I bleed Cardinal red. I love the Pittsburgh Steelers because of my older brother Craig and the memories that I have growing up with some of the greats, the Steeler greats. And then, of course, being from Buffalo, I love the Buffalo Bills. I love DeAndre Hopkins to the Buffalo Bills, Paulie. I love it because of Stephon Diggs on the other side. Are you kidding me? You take a guy like Stephon Diggs, who is a run-by guy. He is a guy that can run by the opponent. You take him and you stick D-Hop on the other side of that. I love the fact that you've got a very solid tight end in Dawson Knox as well. He's a guy that is very reliable in terms of running routes and being a safety valve for Josh Allen. But man, you tell me that you got those two guys on either side, Stephon Diggs and DeAndre Hopkins, and that could be exactly what pushes the Buffalo Bills over the top and into the Super Bowl.
I'm with you. Think of their playoff loss to Cincinnati. What were they missing? Another receiver in addition to Stephon Diggs. They had nobody beyond Diggs in that game. They have a window right now where they think they're a championship contender. You can't count on the draft on a rookie receiver. You just can't. They're not game ready. Season number one, at least not typically.
Unless you're Jamar Chase.
Right. And certainly not where the Bills are drafting.
Exactly.
And it's a thin free agent class. It's already been picked over. So, yeah, I'm with you. You know what I mean? Bills got to come in and they got to bring something of worth and get the D-Hop trade done. And then,
Paulie.
Yes.
I just want to jump in and just say this right now. The Buffalo Bills, that makes so much sense. And maybe the only other team that rivals the Bills, in my opinion, as to it making sense, the Kansas City Chiefs. If they want to go back-to-back, the Kansas City Chiefs. I understand they have Travis Kelce. I get that. I understand that. But, man, they're wide receiver room is not very impressive right now, and DeAndre Hopkins would make that very impressive.
Yep, and KC just lost Juju Smith-Schuster to New England, and then there's a lot of noise out of New England because Schuster's really more of an inside guy and they need an X, and guess what? That's what DeAndre Hopkins would do, and we know the affinity between Belichick and D-Hop.
And Juju also, Paulie, is really not a wide receiver one. D-Hop is.
Yep. So, all right, what does that mean for the Cardinals' receiver room, though? They'd be minus a receiver one, unless Hollywood Brown has a breakout year. I mean, what do you think for the Cardinals when I say, look, as currently constructed, Hollywood Brown, Rondale Moore, Zach Pascal, our guest tonight on the Big Red Rage, Greg Dortch, Andre Bocelli, and then you have a couple of practice squad caliber guys in Javon Wims and Auden Tate.
Yeah, Paulie, you know, again, this tells me anytime you're going to lose DeAndre Hopkins and you're admitting the fact that you're out there and you're shopping DeAndre Hopkins and you're only going to get like a second round pick back or maybe even worse than that, some of the other rumors that are out there, a third round pick, whatever. I don't believe that, but you're not going to get a ton of compensation because of the mitigating factors, as we've already discussed in regard to DeAndre Hopkins. Anytime you're doing that, what you're really saying is, Paul, the rebuild has hit reality. Because, again, D-Hop, you're not going to go out and be able to replace DeAndre Hopkins with a guy that's anywhere close to what D-Hop brings to this team right now. Because you'd have to pay. You'd have to do it. And right now, the one thing we are sure of is Monty Ossenfort is building this team from the floor up, raising the floor up, as opposed to raising the ceiling and not really addressing the floor of the roster. And I think, this is just me personally, but if you're changing everything, you've got a new GM, a new head coach, a new coaching staff, you're going to have a completely new culture. Because of that, man, you have to start by raising the floor and admitting that you need to raise the floor and build that culture. That, Paulie, is critical going forward. I can't stress it enough.
And you know what? I'll just throw in addition to raising the floor and building that manner, you have to build from the inside out.
Yes.
You got to build the trenches first.
Yes.
We know Wolf firsthand. Just look back in Cardinals history. You can have all the weapons you want, but unless you're stout at the line of scrimmage, and just based on the fact this is a weak draft class when it comes to receivers, and I view this as a two-year rebuild, then guess what? I think you're going after those linemen in this draft, at least those guys that play maybe in the front seven on defense and then in the trenches on offense and defensive line. That's your priority right now.
Yeah, absolutely, Paulie. Go out and look for a guy who's really young and really, really talented, and maybe you're going to draft him and give him the opportunity to come in here and let lightning strike. But right now, the D-Hop situation tells me the reality of that rebuild is on.
Hey, join the season ticket priority list at azcardinals.com/priority list for more info. Back with more of the Big Red Rage right after this.
Gorgeous toss by Colt McCoy.
Oh, that is a greasy throw by Colt McCoy right there. Spin that pig, Colt.
Shotgun snap to McCoy. Ball's loose on the ground. He picks it up, throws over the middle, and it's caught for a touchdown by Ertz. How about Colt McCoy picking up a loose ball on the turf and throwing a pass over the middle for a big touchdown here. Blau looking deep, airing it out. Near sideline, jump ball caught by A.J. Green at the 35. Turns left to the 30. He's inside the 20, inside the 10, and Green is into the end zone for a touchdown.
You gotta be kidding me, David.
I want to prove to myself, I want to prove to everybody that when they turn on the tape that they can trust me with the ball in their hands, whatever that may look like my role in 2023.
That is David Blau going into the season finale at the 49ers. And you know what? That was foreshadowing in a way. As we welcome you back into the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and David Blau showed up late on the scene, started the last two games. And Wolf, look, you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution when a team hits the reset button after a losing campaign. Colt McCoy and David Blau both made their share of plays. And to Blau's comment, did he not put enough on film where the decision makers, even albeit new decision makers, could watch that film and say, you know what, as far as a backup quarterback goes, yes, this guy is a plus, and guess what? He is back in the fold for 2023.
Yeah, no, Paulie, I'm with you on that one. I really am, and I think you would agree. The guy was very impressive, even though he threw two interceptions. To me, again, I say go back and look at that tape. One of them I know for sure was not his fault. So having said that, you look at him and think he threw for over 400 yards, just over 400 yards. And then I think of the offense that they actually were running with David Blau. David Blau was actually under center. Remember that,
yes,
Paulie? We're going to see more and more of that going forward. I think it's probably one of the reasons why the Cardinals may have looked at David Blau and said, listen, Kyler Murray's rehab is coming along well. He should be on track at some point in time to return, whether that's in October or maybe even sooner, who knows. But he should be on track to actually come back and be the franchise quarterback. Colt McCoy can cover us, so let's not spend money. We were talking about this earlier. Let's not spend money on the quarterback position, because David Blau can go out and actually run an offense where you got him in shotgun, pistol, or under center. And I think that was one of the big reasons why they said, hey, let's sign this guy.
Yeah, the other big takeaway for me was him going downfield with the football.
Yeah.
In a passing attack that spent almost all of last season dead last in yards per passing attempt, he went downfield. There were a lot of first down throws. There were a lot of chunk throws. He was targeting guys 10, 20, 30 yards downfield. We didn't see a lot of that, and I just think it spoke to his confidence and his ability to see the field.
No, you're right about that. So, again, I think the Cardinals feel like he is capable of orchestrating whatever offense they run out there, but it's going to be Colt McCoy, I would imagine, going into training camp, and then at some point we're going to see Kyler Murray. So this, to me, is encouraging because it tells me, this is just me looking at this situation, Kyler Murray's rehab must be coming along. Nicely.
Yeah, and there are a lot of reports to that effect that he might be ahead of schedule. So most are bullish on his rehab process so far. And we all know in the NFL it is about the quarterback and getting to the quarterback. And so the question becomes, will we see Will Anderson Jr. at Cardinals training camp? Will he be a draft pick at number three? Will he be a Cardinals draft pick at number four after they trade down with Indianapolis? Will we see the Bama standout? He was on CBS Sports, Rick Spielman, the former Vikings GM, and Rick Spielman had a couple of questions for the draft prospect.
How many teams have you talked to that are looking at you as an outside linebacker, and some may be looking at you as a defensive end, just putting your hand in the dirt and getting upfield?
Yeah, I talked to quite a few teams, but I think just being in Alabama and just how versatile they made me, you know, whatever system I be in, I feel like I'm going to be good playing a 3-4 outside linebacker, playing with my hand in the dirt. Most of all the teams I talked to said you can do both, and they were really excited about me.
Do you have any other private workouts coming up after this or just a lot of meetings?
I have zero private workouts and zero meetings, so I just be here working out.
So there you go. In fact, according to reports, the Cardinals' big decision makers, the head coach and GM, were not at Alabama's pro day today. Will Anderson was not working out. He just said, you know what? Everyone saw what I could do at the combine. I crushed the combine. So there you go. What we did hear today was Nick Saban, his college head coach, Wolf, on Will Anderson Jr. talking to ESPN, and I quote, this is Nick Saban about Will. He has great ability, but he plays to that ability all the time because he is a dog-ass competitor. I mean, he really is a great competitor, end quote, Nick Saban.
You know, you cannot convince me that Nick Saban did not use those words that you just said on purpose, because I think he is trying to help a kid that he probably loves in Will Anderson. And the reason why I say that, Paulie, we all know the kind of weight that Nick Saban carries. We all know that when he says something like that, it really speaks to the type of person that you're going to be drafting. And Paul, more than anything else, that to me is why I'd love for the Arizona Cardinals somehow, some way to get Will Anderson. This guy is a football player. You know, we were talking about Pascal, of course, and we were talking about some of the guys that the Cardinals are signing, and Josh Woods. The fact that these guys are dogs. These guys are okay, maybe not in the top 25, top 30, top 35 of your roster. Maybe they're more towards the back end, but they're football players, Paul. They love to play the game, and that's the reason why I'm starting to get really jacked up. When you tell me the Arizona Cardinals were not at Alabama's pro day, is that what you're telling me, Paul?
Yep. Well, they were not there? Head coach and GM were not there today.
Well, that to me is what I'm talking about. Yep. Yes. Those guys not being there today, that really tells me they're focused and their message is all about the tape and how you play the game of football. We don't need to see you running around unless you're actually playing the game of football. There is an emphasis, I believe a newfound emphasis in the organization on playing in between the white lines.
Look, for all his accolades, two-time SEC Defensive Player of the Year, two-time All-American, two-time Bronco Nagurski Award winner as the best defensive player in the nation, the thing I like the most when I hear about Will Anderson is when a Mel Kiper puts in his scouting report, quote, doesn't take plays off.
Yes.
And then when you hear that, you know, dog competitor from Nick Saban, those are the things that resonate to me. So, okay. Hopefully we can pencil him in already. Will Anderson is a future Arizona Cardinal. How about the future of an Isaiah Simmons? Big decision right after the draft. By May 2nd, Cardinals have to decide, do they pick up that fifth-year option or not? What do you think the future holds for Isaiah Simmons?
Wow, I have no idea, Paulie. I have no idea what the Arizona Cardinals are going to do. I just find it fascinating that Isaiah Simmons is very much in the same category as Hassan Reddick was.
Yep.
And what happened with Hassan Reddick, the same circumstances seem to be surrounding Isaiah Simmons at this point in time. time, even though I think Isaiah Simmons has made more plays and flashed a whole lot more than what Hassan Reddick flashed at the time. I find it fascinating that here we are once again in this situation, Paulie. I have no idea what the Cardinals are going to do, but for me, I'm going to go ahead and pass on the May 2nd and picking his option year up. And I'm going to make him go play, and then we'll try to sign him going into October. If he flashes and looks like he can do it, we'll try to sign him, and we'll give him a bank load.
My hot take this week on the Registry Report is I really wonder if he's not traded before May 2nd, right around the draft, if the Cardinals can get what they're looking for in terms of trade compensation. I almost liken him to a Deion Buchanan. He's a baller, but what's his position? So we'll see. We'll get an answer to that real soon as well. Hey, Season 6, Episode 2, Cardinals Flight Plan. Got to catch it. Great stuff. YouTube.com/AZ Cardinals for Jim Omohundro, Zach Larson, Zach Pascal, who's wearing the T-shirt Bet on Yourself, for Ron Wolfley. I'm Paul Calvisi. This has been the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Number one.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.